What we want to do over the next number of weeks is we want to focus on the next item of our vision for this year. You remember, you can see the little picture up there on the door, the three little emblems. The first one was listening to God. And remember how we focused on Psalm 119, which was all about drawing close to God by spending time listening to Him. In other words, by reading the Bible. The next element of our vision for this year is talking to God. And I think that goes without saying what that really is. So we want to focus over the next number of weeks on prayer. And it's my plan that over these weeks we are obviously going to deal with a number of different elements, how to pray and so on. We're also going to look at some of the prayers, some of the amazing prayers in the Bible. So we are going to move around a little bit. But this morning what I want to do is I want to give us an overview of why prayer is here in the first place. And so that's why I want to actually look at the whole Bible. So we are going to be jumping around a little bit more than we normally do this morning. But I'm sure you will bear with me as we have a look at that. Well, let's pray as we come before God's Word. Lord, we do just ask and pray now that as we open your Word, that you would help us not to harden our hearts, that you would teach us and correct us and train us and even rebuke us, Lord, for the places and the times that we ignore you. But Lord, we do pray that you would speak to us this morning and help us to grow in you. Amen. I want us to think about relationships for a moment. Any relationship that you might have, a relationship with your spouse, a relationship perhaps with a sibling, or a family member of some sort, and perhaps a relationship that you have with a work colleague. Now, some of those relationships will be brilliant and we'll have good times together. Others of those relationships, well, we would struggle to even perhaps call them a relationship because every time we say something, it's grumbling and moaning or fighting or maybe worse, we don't say anything. But the whole idea within a relationship, whether it's a good relationship or a bad relationship, is some form of communication. And generally, in relationships, it's a communication from both sides of that relationship. Many of us claim to have some great friends. And when we meet those friends, do we just sit there with a mouthful of teeth, not saying anything? Or do we talk the hind leg off a donkey? I know sometimes when either I and one of my friends go out for a cup of coffee, or specifically when Helen and some of her friends go out for coffee, I don't expect them back for a good number of hours because they are talking so much. Because that's what friends do, isn't it? Perhaps you even go so far as to go camping with friends. That's a great way to learn what people are like. When you're camping with them, then you really see who they are. And it's good fun. Perhaps you take friends to movies, invite them round for meals at your houses. But really what I'm trying to get at is that when we're in a relationship with someone, we spend time with that person. Psychologists and marriage counselors will tell you that one of the biggest breakdowns or one of the biggest causes of a breakdown within a marriage is lack of communication. When the couple stops talking to one another. Now, the Bible tells us that we are made for a relationship. And in fact, that's what we're going to be looking at today, the whole idea of a relationship. And as Christians, we all claim to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes us Christian. It's not just something that we say and do, but it is actually
a relationship. Tim Chester, who's written an amazing book on prayer, says that it is not possible for the Christian to say, I will pray or I will not pray. For to be a Christian, he says, is to pray. It's one and the same thing, he goes on. And he says, just as I might say I am friends with you, but fail to talk with you, it just doesn't happen. And so Tim Chester's saying that if we claim to be a Christian, then we talk with God. We pray with Him. Now, how does Tim get to that idea? How do I get to that understanding of prayer? And that's where it's important that we go right back to Genesis chapter 1. I hope you put bookmarks in those passages that we read, fingers, pens, whatever, because we are going to be referring to those. So Genesis chapter 1. This is, remember, in the context of God creating the world. I'm sure we're all familiar with this passage, how God spoke and things came into being. But I want us to notice here just a number of elements about God and His creation of mankind. So verse 26, as God creates mankind, He says, let us make man in our image. The man there is the term for mankind, rather than just the male species of mankind. And he says, let us make man in our image. Now just notice the pluralness of that little verse there. It's not let me make mankind in my image, but let us make mankind in our image. Immediately there, many theologians will tell you that is one of the earliest references to God being a Trinity made up of three persons, individual yet one. And we see that here. God in His very nature is a relational being. He is three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are in relationship with one another as unique beings, yet they are one being. When you'll just notice here that if you look back a couple of verses, when God created the livestock, the animals, verse 24, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds. But when God created mankind, He didn't say, and God created mankind according to their kind. He said, let us create mankind according to our image. Which makes us unique from the rest of the animal kingdom, despite what the evolutionists might say, that we evolved from monkeys. God says here that we are unique. We have been created by this three-in-one God in His image. Which means that part of who we are as human beings is relational. That's why relationships are always so important to us. That's why we are devastated when relationships fall apart. That's why we always long for company. And generally, we are always looking out or looking for other people to be with us, even if it might just be a lifelong partner. We are created for relationship. Now, isn't that an amazing thing that God has made in us? But it's even bigger than that. Because we are created in God's image, because we are created as relational beings, our ultimate relationship is not found in other human beings. Our ultimate relationship is found in knowing God Himself. Which means that you and I are expected to make a relationship with God work. Of course, we cannot do that in our own strength, and that we'll talk about at a later stage. But if we are created for relationship with God, and fail to have a relationship with God, we will always be looking for something more in relationships. And we can just see this by how the world looks at relationships. You know, as soon as someone no longer satisfies us, well, we throw them aside and we find the next person. You know, the joke about always looking for the younger model. That's because we cannot find our ultimate fulfillment in the relationships of this world. We need them, but ultimately it is with God. In fact, we notice, if you just have a look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, although this is in the negative context of man and his wife hiding from the Lord, the idea is that in Genesis 3 and verse 8, that they used to walk with the Lord in the cool of the evening every day, all the time. They had a relationship with God. Adam and Eve would walk with the Lord. One of the things with friends is generally you need to meet up with them reasonably often. Of course, there's always those one or two friends that you can not see for 10 or 20 years and just pick up where you left off. But generally, if we fail to communicate within a relationship, it falls apart. And here we see God walking with Adam and Eve, maintaining that relationship. That means it would have been a two-way relationship. It wasn't just God saying, Adam and Eve, listen, you know, I really like you and so on. It was Adam and Eve also spending time with God, talking with them. But of course, we know chapter 3 of Genesis. Things didn't go according to the way God would have liked them to. Adam and Eve chose to reject God. They ate from the fruit of the one tree in the garden they were forbidden to eat from. And then we see in verse 8 that they hid from God when he came to walk with them. Suddenly they were embarrassed. Suddenly their relationship had been broken. And friends, the same is true with us. Because of our sinfulness, because of our rejection of God, the relationship that we were made for with God has now strained. It is difficult, and hence our struggle to pray. But friends, all hope is not lost. The Bible doesn't finish with Genesis chapter 3 and God kicking Adam and Eve out the garden. In fact, the rest of the Bible from Genesis chapter 3 onwards, right up until Revelation 21, is what my second point is, a broken relationship fixed. My first comment was talking with God. My second comment, a broken relationship fixed. In Genesis chapter 12, after Noah and the flood, after the Tower of Babel, when people tried to usurp God and think that they could be God, God makes one man a promise. A man called Abraham. And you remember the promise that God gave to Abraham. Abraham, you will be a blessing, not just to your family, but to all nations. You will be my people. And I will be your God. Genesis chapter 12, way back then at the beginning of the Bible, God is planning to restore the relationship that we have with him. In Genesis chapter 17, he reaffirms this covenant with Abraham. And he says, I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. You see, friends, God is very concerned with this broken relationship. We were created for relationship with God. And he, and because we have destroyed it, he is now trying to reignite that relationship with us. In Genesis chapter 17, after God has reaffirmed his promise to Abraham, Abraham then is recorded as having spoken to God. Now, it's recorded here as physical speech. Abraham said to the Lord. Verse 19, then Abraham said, yes, but your wife and son. And what we see there, it's just normal conversation. Abraham talks to God. God, these are my concerns. You know, my wife, she's like almost, 70 odd. She can't have a child. Where are my descendants coming from? And he expresses his concerns to God. In fact, if you follow various discussions that take place within the Old Testament, most of them are just physical conversations between the person and God himself. There's no special content. There's no particular technique. There's not even any emphasis on the person's spiritual quality. Rather, it is just talking with the living God. Even when Moses sinned, he spoke with God. Even when people like Jacob disobeyed the ways of God, God was still there, listened to him. They were just normal comments by normal people, sinful people like you and I. But we do know and we do see in the Old Testament that when people spoke to God, certainly by the time we get to Exodus, when the Israelites have left Egypt and are now wandering around in the deserts, that they are restricted in how they can approach God. You'll notice there, even in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve were kicked from the garden, no longer could they come into the very presence of God. They were restricted. By Exodus, God tries to talk with the people of Israel at Mount Sinai. Remember when they were camped around the mountain? And God then said to Moses, prepare the people, let them offer sacrifices, let them wash themselves, let them come before me, because I am going to speak to them. Can you remember what their reaction was when God spoke to them? They were terrified and they actually said to Moses, whoa, don't let God speak to us. We can't handle this. And God put restrictions in place as to how we can pray to God. That's when he set up the whole system with the priests, with the tabernacle initially and later on with the temple. There were ways and means that you could pray to God. And in the Old Testament, the people, if they wanted to pray to God, would have to bring an offering to the temple. The priest would then have to take that offering and sacrifice it on their behalf so that they could pray to God. There was always that step in between praying as an individual and God hearing. It had to go through the priest, through the sacrificial system. And remember, even the priests had that barrier of the curtain in the tabernacle in the temple where only the high priest could go into the very presence of God once a year. And so that relationship was strained. It was difficult. Think for a moment that if you're in a marriage relationship and you can't communicate to your partner other than by means of an interpreter, for example. Perhaps you've married a foreigner. They can't understand English and you can't understand their language. And the only way that the two of you can communicate is by having a third party there to be an interpreter. You might have a relationship of sort, but it would be a very strained relationship, wouldn't it? And you can imagine that certain things would probably not take place because you couldn't communicate them and you didn't want to say these things to the interpreter. And so that relationship would be strained at best. And in a sense, that's what it was like in the Old Testament with the people, the priests, and God. That's why in the New Testament, the writer of Hebrews says that we now have a mediator who speaks on our behalf, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the people of the Old Testament struggled in their relationship with God, but of course the prophets like Jeremiah and others said things like, I will be their God and they will be my people. God still was concerned about his relationship. Zechariah chapter 2 verse 10 says, and God speaks and says, I am coming and I will live among you. But how is that possible for God to live among us when we are terrified of God, just like the Israelites were in the desert, and when we have to come to God through a priest? Well, this is what I want to look at now in John's Gospel. So if you could turn with me to John chapter 1. John's Gospel, John chapter 1, and I want to have a look at that verse 14. Remember again, this is in the context of John speaking about who Jesus is. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And then we are told these amazing words in verse 14. The Word, Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. In other words, the fulfillment of what some of the prophets were talking about. We have seen his glory, and the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Remember what Mary said at the birth of Jesus. Emmanuel. Can you remember what the word Emmanuel means? God with us. So God wants to be in a relationship with us. And he has made the way possible for us to be in a relationship with him. Even when Jesus died on the cross for us. Yes, he died for our sins. Yes, he gave his life for us. Yes, he was raised to life. But can you remember what happened when Jesus died? Not only was it dark as a sign of God's judgment, but remember what else happened. Something in Jerusalem itself, that the curtain in the temple, which was about a foot thick, about this thick, was torn in two. In other words, what was God doing through Jesus? That barrier that was separating us from God has now been removed. No longer do we need to go through a priest in order to pray to God. We can pray to God directly because we have Jesus, who, as the writer of Hebrews says, is our high priest. We destroyed a relationship with God, but he has restored it through his Son. So where does that leave us then? And this is my third comment this morning. And again, it's actually the same as the first comment, talking with God. And for this, we turn to Revelation 21. Right at the back of your Bibles, Revelation chapter 21. Remember, you've got Genesis 1 and 2, which speak about God's ultimate plan for the world. Then we've got Genesis 3 to Revelation 19, which speak of God's restoration plan for the whole world. And then we've got Revelation 21 and 22, where we see God's ultimate plan come to fruition. You see, Jesus in his death on the cross gave us access to God. But not only access to God, we are made, as some of the gospel writers say, as some of the apostles write, that we are now the children or the family of God. It means that we can call God Father. It means that Jesus calls us friends. Remember how Jesus spoke about the fact that he is the friend of sinners. Sinners like you and me. Hendrikus Berkhof says in a reformed article that he wrote for a magazine, God doesn't want us as objects, but as covenant partners, partners who can converse. He desires our conversation input. our spontaneous gratitude, our free concurrence, but also our patient or impatient questioning, and even our vehement protest is dearer to him than a silent, unconvinced acquiescence. Now, I know he's using some big words there, but basically what he is saying to us is that God likes it when we talk to him, whether it is our gratitude, our thankfulness to him, whether it is our questioning of him, whether it is our deepest heart's desires, whether it is our patient talking with him or our impatient talking with him, or even here, our protest or our silence. God wants us to talk to him. God wants us to communicate with him, no matter how good or bad that communication might be. I know that there are some of you who are scared to pray out loud because you might not pray the right words. Well, friends, God's not worried about the right words. God wants us to talk to him, whether we are angry or whether we are happy, whether we are thankful or whether we are sad. God wants us to talk to him. Now, Revelation 21, verse 2 and 3, is a great culmination of everything that has happened. And in fact, reminds us of God's relationship with Adam and Eve back in Genesis 1 and 2. John, who wrote Revelation, says, "I saw the holy city," verse 2, "and the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband." Okay? And verse 3, he says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.'" God's ultimate relationship with us is to be with us, just like he was with Adam and Eve. Now, although prayer or lack of prayer doesn't save us, it certainly helps us to build a relationship with the one who created us for relationship. God has done a lot to ensure that all nations can now have a relationship with him. And that's really what the Lord's table is all about. What we're going to remember in a few moments. That Jesus didn't just die for one or two people. He died so that all people, everyone who turns to him, everyone who develops their relationship with him, can come into his presence. And no longer do we have to go through a priest. No longer is our relationship destroyed between us and God. We have direct access to God. So whatever your worry is, whatever your concern is, whatever issues you or I might have, we can talk to God. Just like we can talk to our spouse or to our children or others that we have relationships with. I don't need special words to talk to God because he created me for relationship with him. So whatever words I have, I can use to talk to him. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at how we pray to God the Father, how we pray to God the Son, and how we pray through the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to look at a number of different prayers that have been prayed in the Bible. We're also going to pick up on how hard it is to pray, and that is because of sin in our life. But ultimately, what God wants us to do is talk to him, however feeble we might feel our words are. What he doesn't want is us to keep silent. So let's pray and ask God to help us. Lord, we do just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the full story of the whole Bible, Lord, how you created us for relationship, how you want us to commune with you and to talk with you. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us, no matter how feeble we might feel in your presence, no matter how inadequate we might feel as we talk to you. Help us, Lord, to build our relationship with you as we communicate with you, as you communicate to us. And we ask this in your name. Amen.